gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chris, could you have Mitt Romney and some of his friends hold me down and shave my tongue?
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. I said it once. I'll say it again. Do not go drinking with Aisha Tyler in Minneapolis. That's all I'm saying, kids. Not that you'll have an opportunity to, but if you should, just
she,
say no.
Fan
just
of
say
the
no.
Single malt? Is
that, you know what? She orders drinks I've never even heard of. That's what kind of drinker. Do you have flour from Farkenhagen to and a... I don't even know what she asked for.
And she asked for it neat.
She knows every kind of weird, fancy cocktail ever invented. All right. Thank you, Minneapolis.
For LaFroig?
Yeah. Wow. What a show. What a show. I'm told, you know, Chris, they say, because I don't know, because I'm...
drunk.
Yes. But I'm told, once again, best show ever. But Aisha Tyler, off the hook. I would hurry and get your tickets for Boston, because people were going crazy in Minneapolis.
They were
Saturday
going
night.
Dump.
Yeah, they were going dump. It was really, really a fun. It was a, what a great crowd. What a fun show. All our favorites, Dave in Minneapolis, Gene in Minneapolis, the official mental health care expert of the Stephanie Miller Show. Everybody was there. It was really, thank you, Minneapolis.
What was the mental health expert's opinion of the show?
that it wouldn't exist if we all were healthy.
You all are mental, I must say.
You're all mental,
completely
I must say.
Completely mental, I must say.
Ah, boy, oh boy. Yeah, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com. I think we're going to try to get some, there's some pictures, audience pictures of, in honor of the president coming out for marriage equality, we had the first ever three-way teabagging demonstration.
Oh.
So John was teabagging me, and Aisha was teabagging him. So
that's
it's
not possible.
Aisha can't teabag.
Well.
She doesn't have the equipment.
There was something else happening up there I couldn't see. But
well.
That'll be on the inner tubes later.
Hmm.
Oh, dear.
The first three-way ever. Very, very exciting.
Glad your mom didn't come to this one.
It was sort of like a naked twister. I don't even know what was happening up there. I'm bottom, as you know. I was on the bottom, so I don't. Who knows what was happening up there? That was their business. You know, I'm a small government person. It's not my business what was happening above me.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. Oh, and then somebody said it was worth the price of the ticket to watch Aisha and I do the double gangsta mic drop, which was, bam! Yeah, I think a guy in the Q&A made a joke about, don't worry about getting dumped by your much younger girlfriend because lots of parts of you are younger than her. We were like, bam, it's a triple slap smackdown. It's a joke about surgery and bam.
Yeah, but after you do the mic drop, you're supposed to leave the stage. Did you do that?
No, we faked it and then we came back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hope the mic still worked.
Yeah. Right. Hoping that wouldn't get taken out of our...
very sensitive condenser mic. Thank you very much.
It's a ribbon mic.
We were giving the sexy liberal cause is marriage equality. I think it's Minnesota's for one family. I can't remember the name of it, but for marriage equality in Minnesota anyway. But I know, and I'm going, I hope we didn't break those mics. But we didn't.
Sound guys must love the gangsta mic drop.
The gangsta mic drop.
Great.
It was like in a relationship. Right. Bam. All right, I'm back. I was just kidding.
Hello? Hello? Suzanne? Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Ooh, hot mic. Hot mic.
Ooh, hot mic. Hot mic. Yeah, it was fun. This is our return. And I said, so much has changed since I've been here last. The president's for gay marriage, and Marcus Bachmann has gotten even gayer. If either of those two things were possible.
And less Swiss, suddenly.
Yeah, less Swiss.
How about her? I'm Iowan. No, I'm not. I'm Swiss. No, I'm not. I'm American.
She's crazy.
Yeah. You think? I've never noticed that. Huh. Hmm. We talked about, because his clinic is there. His, Christian reparative therapy clinic. Where he does the
a lot
the
of tennis rackets and pillows, I think.
Yeah. But I did have to back him up on one thing. Is from experience, I could say that he is right. You are not born gay. It's Minneapolis Airport that makes you gay. Because if Senator Larry Craig is any...
I love my wife. What do you think of that?
It was true. I was straight as an arrow on the plane on the way there. BJ's left and right. Was really like party what? Plane. And then like the minute I hit Minneapolis Airport, poof. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it works that way.
The minute I hit the bathroom, I was like, wow, am I hungry. I have got to have some immediately. And you know how Minnesota nice they are.
Oh.
Some woman immediately was like, oh, okay, darling, there's a buffet right down the street. Yeah. It's very reasonable.
Is it reasonable?
At the Radisson?
There's one at the Radisson.
All the nudist fish you can eat.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So anyway, thank you, Minneapolis. What a great fun time. All right. You know who had the less of a fun time?
Who?
Mitt Romney, I believe, got heckled at Jerry Falwell's.
I'm being heckled by conservative Christians.
There was one God warrior, I believe. I think they said, Jesus is the only way, Mitt. Something like that.
Yeah. She's not a Christian!
A couple of God warriors.
What? God warrior!
A lot of empty seats there, I know.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and apparently those seats were empty out of protest, and that's not the kind of place that encourages
protest.
No,
they
encourage that's frowned upon in that establishment.
Conformity or us. That is, yes.
Exactly.
Conform or else.
And look at here. What do you call it? Josh Romney got booed by Ron Paul supporters.
Obviously.
Got booed off the stage by Ron Paul supporters.
They obviously wanted tag.
That was a tag crowd.
Yeah, flurn.
That clearly was a tag crowd. Josh?
Who's
Josh? How do we get Josh? That's like Meryl Osmond showing up.
Like Children of a Lesser Romney.
Good one, Sparky. Yeah. Or Buckwheat, or whatever
Buckwheat.
Your name is.
Buckwheat.
Hey, Buckwheat.
Yeah, we can't afford four more years of President Obama, said Josh Romney, the third of Mitt Romney's five sons, but he had to stop repeatedly as people booed and yelled for Rand Paul.
Yeah, they wanted an intellectual.
Now we have something in common. We got booed. We got heckled by a Ron Paul supporter at the San Francisco Sexy Liberal.
Huh.
Although he was quickly drowned out. What was it? Remember that? What did he say? Oh, he's like, oh, Obama's a war criminal. Vote for Ron Paul. He paid for a ticket just to say that and then leave. We were like,
whatever.
We'll take your money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please and thank you. All right. Yeah, we obviously talked a lot about the Mitt Romney teenage homophobic bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy said long-haired freaky people need to go outside. So they pushed me all around and threw me on the ground, and they didn't want to tell me why. He said you look like you need a haircut now, there might be some pain. So I lived out my life, and 30 years later, this guy bully took over Bain. Mine, everything is mine. Trees in the scenery, just the right height. Have this, but don't have that, can't you see? It's mine.
Mike and Robbie rocks the free world. Here she is, Jean in Minneapolis, the official mental health expert of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Steph.
How
you guys killed.
Aw, thank you, honey. What a nice, really Minnesota nice crowd.
It was an awesome night. I mean, truly, you guys just get better with age like fine wine.
Aw, you know, we were saying the show goes so long when we have Aisha because we're like, you know, because two girls, we're just like, I get to talk to you all night. Oh, my God, you're so cute and funny. And we just keep
I just want to tell everybody who hasn't seen the show, and I am the original Stephhead as well as the official psychologist of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes,
that this is my third show, and it is an amazing show, and it really just is so totally worth the evening.
Aww.
Everybody who hasn't seen it has got to get to this show.
Aw, thank
you.
And
I now have my Boogity Boogity Cheese hat.
Oh, yay! We sold the rest of the Boogity Cheese. I have my shirt on today, the Boogity Cheese hats. But, yeah, isn't Aisha amazing? She is. Yeah, we started panel, and she was sitting too far away. I'm like, what is this, a segregated panel? Move over here.
That was funny.
Close. All right. Thank you, Jean. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, we were laughing about because we sat together on the plane on the way out, and I was joking about, I know you probably don't want to sit next to me right after a breakup because she's going to, I'd be like Robert Hayes talking about Julie Haggerty for 5 hours.
Oh, God.
She's just like,
pouring gasoline on herself.
I can't take it anymore. Stop talking. All right. And, oh, God, can I do one that's going to make me cry because I have to just close the circle here. Oh, dear God. These people have got to stop making me cry. Okay. So, you know, Ray and Bonnie were at the Chicago show. They own Mephisto Great Lakes Shoes, which is an amazing place, sponsor of our show on WCPT in Chicago.
Right.
And Bonnie came to the March 3rd Chicago show in a wheelchair on oxygen. She has since passed away. Anyway, and so Ray and I have been writing each other back and forth. And anyway, I read this letter, Wes. Their daughter was going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course she was. And, of course, we burst into tears the minute we saw each other at the meet and greet. And she is battling cancer, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And, anyway, but this is, I just want to, this is the kind of people that come to these shows. That it's just more than a comedy show. It's these, it really is, they're incredible. She writes, Steph, it was fantastic to meet you last night in Minneapolis. During Bonnie's treatment, they realized laughter helped, and she turned to you and your show for joy. A phone call from my parents always referred to something from your show. When I was diagnosed with cancer last year, Bonnie and Ray told me to laugh often and listen to Stephanie Miller. Being at your March 3rd show in Chicago was important to Bonnie and Ray. Ah, the love you gave Ray and Bonnie after her passing, mentioning her on the air was an honor. You were mentioned during her funeral services.
Oh.
My dad was so happy to hear I, too, got to see your show on Saturday. Love, Christine in St. Paul. P.S. I know you'll find love, someone to kiss your head, nurture you, and laugh with you. You die. And I wrote her back. I said, you people, stop making me cry. Because Ray and Bonnie really were such an inspiration to me, not just in, you know, for love story, but courage, and just, and their daughter is the same way, and it just, so, you know, that's what happens. It's like all these people are connected. We have people that go from city to city that are, you know, connected to people and other sexy liberals. So anyway, see, now I've got to take a commercial break so that I can weep into Jim's lap. Okay, he likes it. 17, you want it. You know you want it. 17 minutes after the hour.
Aww.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, come on.
What?
It's mine and Jim's business what we do in the bathroom on commercial breaks when I need consoling.
You left me here
Stop
by
it.
Myself.
Don't you mock us musically. Don't you mock our love.
That was a little too fast for consoling.
Yeah. 23 minutes. I apologize. Make it up to you later. 23
Good
minutes.
God, what is wrong with you two today?
It's Monday. It's our thing. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
Because
from
we're
anywhere.
Juveniles who apparently write for Time Magazine and Newsweek now.
Yeah. Did you see those covers?
Yeah, what I was when I saw this, the Obama first gay president.
Even before that, Time Magazine had this woman breastfeeding a 4-year-old kid.
Yes.
4-year-old. And it was, what?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I would have thought that was clever I was 18.
Yeah, I know you're desperate for readers, Time and Newsweek, but
it's supposed to be a
news
magazine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, first gay president.
Well,
first of all, that was James Buchanan.
Yes, hello. First of all,
his
he is rolling in his grave. Spinning.
His boyfriend, William Rufus King, was referred to as Aunt Fancy by the Beltway crowd in those days. And secondly...
I thought they didn't have gays as early as the 60s, according to Mitt Romney. But there was
we didn't know anything about that
in the 60s.
They didn't have that sort of
homos?
Thing.
Homos? No.
No.
Yeah,
homos.
I know. It is a little weird in that you kind of go... Is that offensive? Maybe, because unfortunately...
I think it kind of
is. If you support gay rights, that makes you gay? So if I voted for Obama,
because
I'm black?
Because unfortunately, because for parts of the country, that's not a compliment.
Right, right.
That's the problem. So, yeah. All right. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, Mama, that sure was a nice show you put on there.
Yeah, you betcha. Know,
for sure, you betcha.
Yeah,
thanks.
It was a real hot patootie. But, it was absolutely fantastic. I was
good to see you at the Q&A. Thanks for not fleeing the interview.
Say it again. I couldn't. What did you say?
I said thanks for not fleeing the interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you start fargoing me if you won't let me fargo you back.
You're accomplice there in the wood chipper.
I almost tripped up one of those chairs. We were with all the seats around us, and that very bizarre kind of setting that we had to put up with. But I brought my partner. He had never heard you before. He had never, he knew only what I told him, and I think he doubted half of it was true or it was just delusional. But afterwards, he went, she was really funny. That whole group, they were just great. But I just got one question. Why does she lie down on the floor so much for her bit?
She's tired.
And I said, well,
I'm napping.
That's the only position she's used to most of her life. So why not?
Oh, Dave Louise. All right.
But you are so teeny tiny. I couldn't believe how I wrapped my arms around you twice, I think, when I hugged you.
You're such a big huggy bear. All right. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Bye, dear.
New partner's cute. Way to go. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. let's go to Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. I haven't talked to you guys since you've taken over Current, so congratulations.
We have taken over Current. It was a hostile takeover.
You,
yes.
The, the best news. No one talked about it. Last week, Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld were found guilty of war crimes in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. And no one's been talking about this.
Wow.
Let me read this real quick. It says the second Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal found Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and all the legal advisors guilty of war crimes.
Wow.
At this point, the trial held in Malaysia's capital city featured testimony by people who were tortured. And at this point, they can go forward to the International Criminal Court, the United Nations, and the Security Council. Additionally, the tribunal has requested that the names of Bush, Cheney, and the others be added to the commissioner's register of war criminals.
Wow. Yeah, we don't want to have time for that here. We're too busy with the John Edwards trial, which is, of course,
Much more important.
Much more paramount. Yeah, he's a dirtbag, but really?
Campaign finance problems. How about the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about campaign finance reform.
By the way, you were right. That would be better to hear Tom Brokaw report that.
Kuala Lumpur.
Malaysia. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
It's okay.
There were a lot of L's in that paragraph. In that.
A tribunal.
Tribunal on Kuala Lumpur. Malaysia.
Thanks. Okay, Diane in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Mooks.
Come on.
I just wanted to say to you guys this morning that I am really upset at the so-called black preachers who are coming out. They did a thing on CNN coming out. One said he's not going to vote for Obama because he made his personal views known. You know, these hypocrites, they had a big scandal with a big preacher down in Atlanta with homosexual women, and no one spoke out against that.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big scandal with the president of the National Baptist Association, whose wife found he was having an affair and burnt his house down in Florida, and they said nothing about that.
Yeah.
Come on, we're not a one-issue community.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's the same thing, Diane. It doesn't matter race. It's like those who protest the loudest, it seems like. We keep story after story like that, right?
Right, but they can't sit up in a pulpit, staff, on Sundays and preach about being good and forgiveness and fairness to God and then get on national TV and sit there and go vote for this man because he made his personal views known. Come on.
Yeah.
That is so hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, the good news, at least in the first poll, majority of Americans say Obama's gay marriage endorsement won't affect vote. 60% says it will not influence their vote. Of those who said the matter would have sway, 26% said they were more likely to vote for Obama versus the 13% who said they'd be less likely to vote for him.
It's really only affects black religious conservatives that where it could be a problem. I think it's a win probably in every other way.
Yeah, if you parse these numbers, approximately half the less likely group are Republicans, who Gallup notes are not going to vote for Obama anyway, obviously. Among independents, though, 63% said the evolution makes no difference compared to 65% of Democrats, 46% of Republicans. The one thing they're saying, figures suggest Obama's gay marriage position, when you do all the numbers, is likely to cost him more independent and Democratic votes than he would gain, though, in independent and Republican votes, clearly indicating his new position more of a net minus than a net plus, which, is what makes it courageous in the first place.
Yeah.
But however, these figures also underscore it's a relatively limited group of voters, only 1 in 3 independents, fewer than 1 in 10 Republicans or Democrats, whose votes may change as a result of his stance. So we'll talk more about that and Rude Pundit 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
In the unlikely event that you encounter something that is not covered here, find a woman named
Stephanie Miller.
Get her advice, and then do the opposite.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, later in the show, though,
what?
John Fugelsang is saying, and I saved somebody's marriage. The woman that called, remember, asking me for relationship advice?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not the person I would call.
What, Liza Minnelli wasn't available?
Yeah.
Shut up, Jim Ward. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Patrice in Oakland, real quick. Hey, Patrice.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook.
Hey, hon.
You know something? I'm an African-American female, and I can tell you right now, I couldn't be more proud of the president. And I think that he's still going to get a significant amount of the black votes, probably more so now than he did the last time. I think that he is going to get the independent voters, because at the end of the day, it's still going to be about the economy. And also, I'm not sure if you guys have checked it out, the website that the Obama administration pulled up called Romney Economics. and it tells about his dubious practices at Bank Capital, and you know how it was more about gaining wealth than gaining jobs.
That's right.
And so, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to boil down to. Romney's still going to have to answer for Bank Capital. He's still going to have to answer for the offshore bank accounts. It's
Patrice,
not going away.
You know what? I think you're right. It's back. You know, even already today, I think it's back to the economy, the discussion, and Mitt Romney's record on that. Because I look, there was a memo that came out. A top Republican pollster is advising the Republican Party to embrace gay marriage. I think, not that Mitt Romney's not timid on everything, but the timidity of his sort of response on gay marriage, I think, shows you that they know, once again, they're on the wrong side of history, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, back in 2004, the whole gay marriage thing was a big wedge issue, and they used it to, you know, get reelected, you know, to reelect Bush. That's not going to work this time. I think that the American people have wised up to the tactics of the right.
And, Patrice, you're right about television. It's their job to find a story. So, of course, they're going to find the black minister that's going to vote against Obama now, you know, to make this a big story. But I have to tell you, I interviewed my black best friend, Aisha Tyler, because as a liberal, I'm required to have a black best friend.
Right.
And in the typically racist way, I asked her on the panel Saturday night, what do all black people think of this? She had just come from the meeting, and she said they're fine with it.
So, oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, it's Monday. Let's get rude, everybody.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Isn't that very Minnesota nice?
Good morning.
Have a pundit on there.
Good morning.
Yeah. That's just rude. Good morning, Rude.
Good morning.
speaking of rude, I love your Mitt Romney always the bully, because everybody, of course, had their take on this. I mean, it really is interesting, isn't it, that a lot of people say, well, yeah, what you did in high school ought to, except that, like you say, if it hadn't been so, you know, it's now reflected in his policies, and this particular story and the way he handled it is what put a spotlight on it, right?
Right. You know, first of all, he didn't just come out and say, okay, look, I did it, I'm sorry. It was, well, if I offended anybody, well, dude, you offend people every day.
Right. Right. But as you say, as with the many things about Mitt Romney, it's hardly surprised to learn he was one of those pampered Nancy boys who, because he wouldn't drink or like crazy, because he'd get raped by the ghost of Brigham Young or however they threaten Mormon kids, took out his young adult hormonal rages on others around him through quote-unquote pranks. So he treated a nearly blind teacher like the man was Mr. Magoo, tricking him into walking into a door for the giggling approval of the other prep school bitch boys.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But, you know, and then the other thing is, you go, it's not just one, it's two homophobic incidents, right?
Right. It's a couple of homophobic incidents. It's the yelling at a girl, which, according to the other the people that were interviewed, apparently the teacher even at times yelled at a girl. So really a fine institution there, Cranbrook.
Nice.
I think really Eminem was right about it.
Yeah.
But as you know, you pointed out the same thing Chris and I did last week. At least two of the acts detailed by the Post would be considered felonies. They're not pranks, right?
Right. You take out a police badge and you use the police flashing light to pull somebody over and threaten them. That's kind of a crime. Like, it's a serious crime. And the cruelty of these pranks. I mean, the other one
was assault. I mean, that's
right. The other one was blatantly assault. I mean, the guy, you're being held down. You don't know. I mean, imagine the terror this guy went through. He was already somebody who was depressed. Mm-hmm. We learned later in his life he had problems with depression. But he's a closeted gay guy at this prep school, and now he's being held down while somebody comes at him with scissors.
Well, and can I just say also, kind of a, you know, ass assault, if you know, when you have your buddies hold someone down.
Right.
I mean, it's like that scene in The Godfather, Here I Go, where the police captain has them hold Michael Corleone so that he can hit him.
Right, right.
And so that's why, I'm not saying he deserved to get shot in the throat. My point is that
it's really the lamest version of the thugs in Clockwork Orange, for instance.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Here's, instead of having a cane, he's walking around with scissors mitt.
Right.
A little derby.
Yeah.
Or kind of like that scene in Carrie, but instead of, you know, tampons, they have scissors.
Okay, yeah. I think we should stop now with the movie references.
All right.
When we're down to
We are culturally educated.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So, but you made also a good point I hadn't seen elsewhere. You say you got to wonder, though, there's a kind of omerta among boarding school students. Yeah. Like a frat not talking about hazing. So if the multiple sources for the Post article were willing to talk so freely about what a bucket of Romney was in school, they must hate him like on a personal, visceral level, much like everyone does as an adult. Maybe it's because Romney was even then an out-of-touch elitist who judged those around him on their wealth, as several of the former students note.
Oh yeah, that was another kind of nice detail in the story, that he kept asking. I don't know if it was in that story or in the Time story, that he kept asking people about how much money they had.
Yeah, what their dad did. Yeah,
yeah,
where
yeah.
they lived.
Yeah, I had somebody email me that said that that he taught summer camp with kids that went to Cranbrook there, and he said it just nauseated him to hear them comparing their parents' Ferraris, which one had a better Ferrari. So. Hey,
yeah,
you know,
I was in college. I worked at a camp for overprivileged children like that, and it was yeah, same thing.
Yeah, you just want to pants them constantly.
Yeah, yeah. I remember at horseback riding lessons, one of them looked at me and said, "We have a horse. I know how to do it." Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow. Did you
okay.
just want to punch him in the chest? I mean, just hard punch him.
Cut their hair off.
Yeah.
You have a horse. Now you've got a broken jaw, too.
I told you the story. I actually had to drive the bus and pick the kids up, and one kid one day said, I can't go to camp today. We're going to Europe instead. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, sure.
Why did he need to tell you that?
I don't know.
Because
just to
be
snobby.
Better than you.
A bus? I'm used to the Concorde, bitch.
All right. So the point is, Romney was always a rich douche that everyone hated. But you say another good point here. Someone show us a story where Romney stood up to someone more powerful than he was. No, the bullying continued at Bain Capital as governor. That guy. And that's, I think, well said.
Yes.
Fully on you, sir.
Yeah, that's all he did. I mean, what did Bain Capital do? It bought smaller companies and they simply pushed them around and squeezed as much as they can. They asked for their lunch money and then threw them aside.
Yeah. And the other thing, by the way, not that this is a shock to anyone, there was actually a betting pool on how many days he would be for gay adoption. Less than a day before he flip-flopped and said, oh, did I say I'm for gays adopting? No, I'm not.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? That's brilliant. That's great. Hey, let's talk about his horse for a second.
Oh, Rafalka only came in 16th over the weekend.
Yes, Rafalka really. You know, it's really a shame when somebody who's so proud and full of money gets to the finals and then fails completely.
Yeah, just completely whiffs it.
When me thinks after the election, he'll just be in the stall. They'll be just comforting each other.
I think Rafalka's getting fired.
Yeah, I think Rafalka's going to end up
You're
being
fired.
Glue.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Rafalka's taking a ride on the roof.
Yeah, Rafalka has to ride on the roof of the plane on the way back from Europe.
Rafalka's the new pink slime.
Yeah.
Oh, ow. Jim Louise. So we obviously talking a lot about the president, historic week coming out for marriage equality. You say as a political calculation, it diminishes Mitt Romney in ways that make him seem nearly microscopic in moral stature. It drives a wedge between Romney and the moderates, and whatever differences we have with the president, it energizes progressives enough to be willing to get in the game again. And you also say as a symbolic gesture, it's like the first... As only you can. It's like the first time a dude you're crushing on invites you back to his place for a beer and a job. Ah, refreshing and satisfying with real, genuine hope for the future.
You know, it's always exciting, isn't it?
Only you can compare the tipping point in the civil rights battle of our generation to a beer and a job. But you know what? That's why we love you.
Is there anything better? You know what? The only thing that would make it better? Three Stooges on the TV.
There you go.
Wow.
Have you ever yelled out Shemp's name? Seriously, you can tell me.
Yeah, no, Curly Joe.
Oh.
Curly Joe? One of the lesser Stooges?
Well, you know, I figure he doesn't get the love that Shemp and Curly get.
Okay, and I have to say, and this is going some, to have a favorite line in a Rude Pundit column, but you're talking about, I believe, the National Review, how they talk about Obama. And you say, so now they want Obama to be seen as once having been Hopi the Change Negro, who has now been transformed into Blackie the Panther. Hopi would never have used Osama bin Laden's death in an ad. Don't we all miss Hopi? Don't we all hate Blackie?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's, wow.
And I have never heard Hopi the Change Negro, I have to say.
You know, Hopi the Change Negro is the funnest Care Bear of them all.
Yes, he's much better than that scary Blackie the Panther.
Blackie the Panther is going to stare at you mean.
Just like Gargamel.
You are ridiculous, and I love you. We'll see you next week, Rude Pundit. Love you.
Bye.
Such a ridiculous
little man. RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number. Eric Bollert from Media Matters at the top of the hour to co-host Right Wing World. Debbie in Miami. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Yeah. I just wish you guys would come down here for a show once or twice.
We were in we did Fort Lauderdale. You missed it. Come on up to Boston next month. Don't be. Come on. Do
well,
it.
I just got laid off. So when I got laid off, I was so happy to see that you were on TV. I mean, I make sure I wake up at 9 o'clock every morning to watch your show.
Hate to get you up so early, but thanks.
That's all right. I had an issue with you.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
That you said something about Chris having man boobs.
Well, they're, you know, sturdy ones, yes.
Well, I think he's hot.
He is hot.
Well, thank you,
he
Debbie.
Is hot. I don't mean like man. I mean like rock hard man boobs, the good kind.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, good. All right, well, someone defending you. Okay, fine.
You get up at 9 in the morning. Tragic.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. Jackie Schiffner is in the Current News Plexo Center just throwing stuff.
I get up at holy o'clock. What? Shut up! Okay. By the way, guess who we booked in hour number 3? Our healthcare expert, Jackie Schiffner.
Jackie Schiffner.
I'll actually be able to hear her.
Wow.
All right. By the way, the three-way teabagging with me, Aisha, and Hal is up on Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Someone said, wow, the first interracial three-way teabaggage, very impressive. Thank you. And then someone wonders...
You're not going to see that at Liberty University's graduation.
Right?
Well, maybe you might.
Somebody writes, well, when will we see this on Current TV with Steph, Jim, Chris, and Rebecca? No.
Says,
I don't think we're ready for that.
No.
The little radio ranch. Okay.
Not at all.
Joe in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Morning, Steph and Mooks.
Hello.
I just wanted to say thank you to you and Becca and Roland for getting me those tickets to see your show Saturday. My wife and I had a ball.
Well said right after the teabagging demonstration.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, was more like enough 4 of them, but we had a good time. It was wonderful. We got to see fellow sexy liberals right next door and have a few cocktails before the show.
Oh, by the way, the State Theater told us this was the highest alcohol consumption of any show. People, these are my people. That's all I'm saying. We are party people. We've never sold this much hooch in the history of ever. Somebody posted on the teabagging picture. Lord, what the heavens did they do tonight? And where do we send bail money to? Doesn't the itchy kitty have an ATM?
Oh, well.
All right, no. Cherry in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cherry. Go ahead.
Yes, Steph?
Yes.
I just have a brief observation.
All right.
Jamie Dimon and Mitt Romney give us a moral object lesson every time they speak on TV. And that object lesson is, it is no longer a sane strategy to be an honest human being in America.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you got to read the Village Voice piece on Bain Capital and exactly what they did there.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of total lack of principles, I mentioned this to Rude. Mitt Romney's support of same-sex adoption lasts one day.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's because he actually has flip-flop in the course of one sentence before, hasn't he, Jim? So that's not the record.
Hello, I lied.
Mm-hmm. He said originally he was fine with same-sex couples adopting children, saying that's something that people have a right to do. By Friday afternoon, he was already backing away from that position, suggesting he merely acknowledges that many states offer same-sex adoption. Here's.
I think all states but one allow gay adoption. So that's a position which has been decided by most of the state legislators, and legislatures rather, including the one in my state some time ago. So I simply acknowledge the fact that gay adoption is legal in all states but one.
No, you kind of didn't.
What a weasel.
Yeah, you didn't simply mention that.
I mentioned that it exists.
You kind of said you were for it.
No.
Someone
no,
told
no.
had to tell me he's not for it. No, I'm not for that at all. No.
That was Rick Romney. It was a different guy altogether.
Wow. What a bunch of serious homophobic douches on this report. Did you hear about Rand Paul?
Yeah.
This is it's unbelievable. Senator Rand Paul, that's the United States Senator.
Right.
At the, what is this, the Faith and Freedom Coalition meeting in Iowa?
Yep.
The president, you know, recently weighed in on marriage. And, you know, he said his views were evolving on marriage. And call me cynical, but I wasn't sure that his views on marriage could get any better.
What's that mean, even?
Well, for A, it's using gay as a pejorative. Of course.
Yeah.
Didn't think his views could get any gayer. Look how gay he is.
I'm laughing really hard at it.
Seriously, what is this, eighth grade on the Republican side in the primary?
And he's
year
a sitting U.S. senator.
Yeah. I mean,
shame on him.
We were talking about this Saturday night. It really, literally, is the most racist, sexist, homophobic a group, you know, primary, at least I can, in my memory.
Yep.
And I was saying, once again, very Lord of the Flies, very bullies, all of them. That's why Chris Christie didn't get in. Because, you know, they would have killed the fat kid with a rock. I'm just saying, when your Secret Service code name is Piggy, you know it's time to...
He hasn't gotten in yet. However, some people feel that Chris Christie's veto of some healthcare reform thing in New Jersey,
the exchanges
over the weekend,
it was
a signal to Romney.
Oh, okay.
Pick me.
Can't.
I'm on your side.
Yeah. Pick me, please.
God. Wow.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Jordan in Florida on Romney. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to what you're saying about Romney and how he is not for gay marriage, and I've always been pro gay marriage, but I think, you know, you should be entitled to your opinion. But he has to remember that his grandfather led to Mexico because Americans didn't like the whole having multiple wives thing.
Yes. He thinks it's rude for you to bring that up.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he doesn't like it when anybody calls him on his
Yes, don't say it. Yes, on his, right, we call bull on him. Yeah. All right, yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Jeremy in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Steph.
Oh, you're calling on polygamy as well. Yes, hello, Jeremy.
I am, actually.
Okay.
I guess my question, I find myself, I lean more towards conservative than liberal ideology, at least on the political spectrum. And, you know, the whole gay marriage question, for me, I'm all for equal financial rights for same-sex couples.
Equal financial rights?
Well, you know, I mean...
That's romantic.
Well, I'm not talking about romantic. I'm talking about...
Well, most gay people are talking about romantic relationships, not just sex.
But No, I understand that. Right. I totally get that. But I'm saying, for me, my big problem with gay marriage, quote-unquote, is the redefinition of the term marriage. And I guess my question ultimately
It's not
is,
redefining it. It is expanding it to include everybody.
Okay, so going on that then, my question is, at what point is marriage, how far do we expand it? For example,
reality.
No. Well, it's about...
Slippery slope train coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
No. It's not a question of a slippery slope. I'm very curious what the quote-unquote liberal or progressive definition of what is the cutoff point.
Would you just hop on the polygamy train, please? There we go.
Yeah, there you go. There, we're waiting for that, Jeremy.
Okay.
If we're talking about consenting adults, then is polygamy, does that fall under the jurisdiction of the... Okay, why
no,
not?
It does not, because it is marriages between two people. That's right. I think that...
But why?
Ow! All right, too bad we're out of time.
Or the Bible tells me so. How's that?
There you go. And other Doris Day songs. All right, 58 minutes after. Is that...
No, it's not a Doris Day song.
No, I was wrong on that.
Sunday school song.
All right, well, que sera, sera. Right back. Derek Bowler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sound of a drinking weekend after drinking with Aisha Tyler in Minneapolis. Oh, my. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Thank you, Minneapolis. Let's go. Another sold-out show in Minneapolis. And by the way, Aisha Tyler, of course, brilliant, funny. And someone said, I can't believe that I can love someone that looks that good in a horizontal striped shirt. Which, yeah, that's irritating. She could at least have the decency to be a biatch. But anyway, thank you, Minneapolis. What a great show. I would hurry, you know, because we have one more with Aisha Tyler in Boston. I
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
Aha, all right. The pictures are up at Sexy Liberal Facebook of the first ever three-way interracial teabagging demonstration starring John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and I. Well, in honor of marriage equality. By the way, StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website, Dwight in Sterling, Virginia, with a point I hadn't heard. Steph, I think you and the media are missing a point concerning Mitt Romney bullying the young man while in high school. Mitt was running with scissors. Do we really want to trust the nuclear defense of our country to a man who runs with scissors?
There is that.
Does he still run with scissors? What kind of example is he setting for the youth of America?
Ask David Sedaris.
Yes. Thank you. Why, thank you. Good point, Dwight.
No, that was the other guy. All right. Augustine Burroughs.
That's right. I get him confused.
Monday, my favorite time of the week. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Your tweet's just my, you know, my weekend pleasure, I must say. You write, right-wing logic, Obama's diet as a seven-year-old must be vetted. Romney assaulting boys in high school cannot be discussed.
Yeah.
the bullying, the assault story from last week created a rather comical problem for the right-wing media, particularly the bloggers, because they're obsessed with this whole vetting.
Right.
Obama wasn't vetted. They never wrote about his past, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And Media Matters and others have pointed out probably no president and no presidential candidate has been written about as much as Barack Obama.
Right.
But so.
And you made a really good point, by the way. You said with each passing day, right-wing media becomes more hysterical about Romney's assault story, even though Romney himself doesn't question the story.
That was one of the many problems. You know, Romney basically said, you know, yeah, I think it probably happened, and I'm not going to question it. He did not question any of the facts. No one from the campaign, as far as I know, contacted the Washington Post, said it wasn't true. The problem was they had five sources for the story, four of the classmates on the record. No one is questioning the story. The Andrew Breitbart sites, last time I counted, posted 18 responses to the Washington Post story, a story the Romney campaign does not question.
Yeah.
So this tells you sort of the detachment from reality. They don't even care whether the facts are in doubt. They don't even care if the Romney campaign has a problem with the story or not. It's all about whipping each other into a frenzy. So the first day, there was sort of this minor outrage. And by Saturday, it was just this unstoppable tidal wave of venom based on a story that Romney doesn't question.
You know, as usual,
it's really amazing.
You put it perfectly. The same type of partisan media pursuers who obsessed over which elementary school Obama attended overseas as a child, the same ones who spent years obsessing over his birth, can't go back any further than that, suddenly think reporting disturbing incidents from Romney's high school days, that's out of bounds.
Yeah.
It's
amazing, right? So they went back to Obama's his birth certificate. What kind of school did he go to? Did he attend a madrasa? Or what did he eat? Remember a couple of weeks ago? He wrote about eating, you know, dog as a young boy overseas. All these things are very, very important, but the Romney story suddenly is out of bounds. The Romney story, we're told, is a waste of time, and why is the Washington Post why are they wasting their time writing about Romney's high school years, et cetera? Look, if you go back, you can find the long stories in the LA Times, you can find the long stories in the New York Times about Obama's high school days. It's called vetting. Every presidential candidate, it happens to all of them. So basically the right wing is saying, you know, go bonkers, go crazy on Obama, unturn every, you know, fact about his youth. Oh, but by the way, you're not allowed to write about this very disturbing and well-documented assault that Romney apparently led.
And I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but I sense you might be making money. You had the over-under at 16 hours when he would flip-flop on the support of same-sex adoption. It lasted one day, right?
Lasted one day. That's par for the course. But it really was fascinating, and it really does show this so-called, you know, conservative media criticism. It's detached from anything. It's really, like I said, just about playing victim and really is just sort of whipping each other into this media-hating frenzy. And it takes a couple days. But, you know, this Romney story was a hit job. It was a smear. It was, you know, it was a disgrace. Oh, and by the way, Romney doesn't question any of it.
We've never
really seen anything like this, I don't think, in a campaign before.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, here he is. It's Karl Rove on Fox and Friends on the Washington Post story.
This is a sad day for American journalism. We're talking about high school pranks that may or may not have taken place over 40-some-odd years ago. Oh, look this was a sad commentary for a once-great newspaper.
Yeah. It's great to hear Karl Rove talk about dirty tricks and bullying, isn't it?
Right. This is a guy who rode the Swift Boat veterans to victory in 2004, smearing John Kerry's war record, making stuff up. He's suddenly upset about journalism and truth telling during the campaign season. You know, it's a disgrace for the Washington Post to have five sources for this news story. Look, this was irregardless of what the topic was. This was a great news story, and by all accounts, it was not handed to anyone. This reporter went out and found it and tracked these people down and talked to them and got them on the record. When was the last time any controversial story had five sources? It's almost unheard of.
Right.
It just adds to the irony, and it adds to the fact that the right-wing attack on journalism doesn't have anything to do with what's produced. It's just a right-wing attack on journalism.
The fact that it happens on Fox News, them questioning actual journalism, here's Megyn Kelly and somebody.
So there are at least some questions about the accuracy.
I'm sure that they're not happy today to have this controversy, this furor growing over a story that was not, this was not a story that was crying out to be told. This was a story that they enterprised and thought maybe it would be interesting and they could get something out of this and get some eyeballs. At least they got eyeballs, but I doubt this is doing a great deal to buoy up their credibility.
Wow. Yeah.
They're
talking about shoddy journalism,
Folks at Fox lecturing the Washington Post about credibility and journalism.
Wow.
Like I said, I don't think Fox News uses five sources all week in a single story. So, you know, again, these people, there's nothing imploded. There was nothing controversial about this story. The facts are today as they were last week. It's probably one of the most talked about stories of the campaign. Again, it was surprising, it was detailed, and it was all essentially on the record. That is good journalism.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ralph Reed on ABC's This Week.
Here's my concern. If this is what we're going to do to candidates, George, who's going to want to serve?
Oh, my God.
Who's going to want to put their name on the ballot if they know people are going to be dumpster diving in your high school or your prep school?
Yeah.
How about making up stories about your war record?
Right. Let's review briefly what the right-wing media and right-wing bloggers did to Barack Obama during the 2008 campaign when they, quote, vetted Barack Obama. They claimed he was igniting bombs at Columbia University. He was basically a terrorist. They claimed he was the son of Malcolm X. They claimed he was born in Kenya. They claimed he had gay sex in a limousine. They claimed Michelle, his wife, found out about a girlfriend of his and had him. She had her exiled to some island somewhere. Mm-hmm. Suddenly they're concerned about the dirt the Republican candidates have to deal with. Where was the silence in 2008 when these people were not digging up, concocting out of thin air?
There's a new one from right-wing media that I think Chris or Jim just told me this morning, that Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel go to the same gay bathhouse in Chicago.
Jim saw that online today.
Sure. Yeah.
So, it's nice that the Republicans are suddenly concerned that, you know.
Yeah, well, journalism remains intact on the right, obviously. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, because, you know, you gotta rest for a minute before Bill Donahue of the
God,
Catholic
really? Leader.
Yeah, you need to gather your strength. I need to give Eric a little, you know, he's a little winded. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with Eric Bollard and the rest of Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. That's the Stephanie Izzle Mizzle Show.
Yeah, with Shizzle. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Don't ever say that again.
2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert from Media Matters in the sidecar to continue Right Wing World. Bill Donahue from the Catholic League on the Fox Business Channel on marriage equality.
Marriage is about children. Mm-hmm. Nature has ordained, and nature's God, that only a man and a woman can have a family. Gay people have been disqualified from nature. Why would a society not take its social ordinance from nature? Why would we want to run against nature? Why not work with nature?
Okay, my first question is, why was this on Fox Business Channel? Yeah. What does this have to do with business?
And I'm sorry,
the
bell.
Yeah.
And I can't continue the interview with you, Eric, because I've been disqualified from nature. So.
You're disqualified from nature!
I've just been naturally selected out so much for me.
The only good news in the wake of the announcement last week is Donahue is just sort of the last gasp. I mean, we don't really hear that much of this sort of unhinged, just naked hatred of gay people in the context of gay marriage on even the far right media anymore. And so they were upset. Oh, Obama was conniving or manipulating or it was a charade. We really didn't hear. Bill Donahue is so alone at this point, and that's the only good news.
You've heard this memo sent out, right? A top Republican pollster is advising the party to embrace marriage equality. Because
Right, 6 years late, they're sort of getting the message that the tide has turned on this whole thing.
Isn't forced celibacy being disqualified from nature? So all the Catholic priests are... Yeah.
Just saying.
But, there was also some whining I saw online that Fox News just wasn't mad enough about the whole gay marriage thing. And why have they given in to this, this socialist agenda, this left-wing agenda? So the tide has turned on this.
Well, the fake outrage machine is...
The Donahue is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, the fake outrage machine is in the shop. It only goes up to 9. They can't get it to 11.
Right. They're fine-tuning it.
Well, News Corp as a company has actually excellent domestic partnership benefits.
That's ironic.
Hey, yeah.
Just like as a company, they're pretty good on green issues, but it doesn't always transfer on air.
Yeah. Sean Hannity hasn't gotten the memo yet.
Right.
It's snowing.
He's disqualified from
snowing
from nature.
In the winter. It's Al Gore joke here. Okay. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
See how easy people get played. See how easy the media
audience
narrative or template is to create and have everybody fought. All these people writing checks today do not know that he's been all over the ballpark on this. And for the most part, 2006, he said he's for it. He he's nothing but a John Kerry. I was before it before I was against it.
Nice try. Yeah. Nice try. Mm. Yes, that's right. Your candidate, Mitt Romney, not a flip-flopper at all.
I mean, not exactly all over the place. I mean, he had a position, I think he articulated in 96, and this is different than that. It's not like he's gone back and forth odd years, even years. And again, it's interesting. Limbaugh really didn't unload on the issue itself. It was, again, Obama has been lying to us, or hasn't been telling the truth, or it's all about money and things like that. They've sort of, they don't really attack the issue head on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Andrew Sullivan, you know, who writes the piece in Newsweek this week,
yeah.
I mean, I think for the most part, people think it was a pretty honest evolution, like most Americans, you know,
right.
It's been reflected in the polling, and I think people have recognized that authenticity as opposed to, say, Mitt Romney.
Yeah. And he's also not the first politician to change his mind on an issue. So, I mean, you know, again, the faux outrage machine, it was a lot of heavy lifting to get that thing cranked up last week over this issue, I think.
And now our final soundbite, which we have made it into a new feature called Proving Eric Bollard's Point Exactly on the whole vetting issue. Mike Huckabee on the radio.
Well, he also seems to forget how he got into college, because we've never learned.
Oh.
You know, there's always been this speculation. The reason he's never released his records is because he was able to get there in part on scholarships based on the need for being a foreign student.
Sometimes I forget.
Wow.
And he seems to have forgotten what courses he took and what kind of grades he made, because we don't know.
We don't know that he's not a Martian.
Yes, they give that out as just kind of like a lovely parting gift, the presidency of the Harvard Law Review, right?
Yeah, anyone can get that, especially foreign students.
It's just a swag bag.
This goes all back to square one. What was the most spectacular vetting effort of the 2008 campaign? Obama wasn't born in this country. He was born in Kenya. He's foreign. We're going to send someone to Indonesia to find the birth certificate. All of this nonsense, and they have sort of the audacity to claim that no one ever looked into Obama's past.
Yes.
They looked into it. They couldn't find anything, so they spent a lot of the time just making stuff up.
Yeah, so now it's talking about Mitt Romney in high school. It's an outrage.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Bollard from Media Matters. Always a pleasure, sir. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Let's go to Elaine in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Elaine.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm so glad to be able to talk to you. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
And listen, I'm a retired school counselor and administrator, and had Romney been in my school, I think I would have had to suspend him.
Yeah.
Because had that child been, this is based on he saying he was different. Now, the kid was white, blonde hair. What if that had been a child of color?
Mm-hmm.
What would he have done to the child?
Well,
and that's the question that we need to
ask. I'm guessing that there were no children of color at Cranbrook in 1960, whatever. Yeah.
I know, Stephanie, because I had to work in schools where there was the beginning of integration. I was the school counselor, and a lot of work had to be done on helping the children to, develop relationships based on just friendship and not color.
Yep. Well, it's part of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Different rules for the top 1%. As you said last week, Jim, no one was going to do anything to the governor's son. Didn't matter what he did.
Right.
Different rules for different people. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are not a jaguar.
She's a cougar.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour of the president last week. The president last week.
You should be able to give your kids the chance to do even better than you. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter what your last name, no matter who you love.
What a socialist.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, we just played Bill Donahue, the right-wing blowhole, Catholic League blowhole. Pardon me, my mistake.
Well, you do understand that the Catholic League is just that one guy.
It's him. It's the one guy. It's the one blowhole.
Right.
Maybe he changed the name of it to that one blowhole, so we'll be better able to identify it. He was saying that it's gays. It's unnatural because it's marriage is only for having children.
Yeah.
Paula helpfully points out, Steph, if four marriages, no children is against nature, Limbaugh is the most unnatural person alive.
There
he
is
didn't
that.
Talk about his fellow right-wing world inhabitant, Rush Limbaugh. Very unnatural.
I was saying forced celibacy in the Catholic Church sounds pretty unnatural.
Yeah. He's about as natural as a Hollywood breastus, you know what I'm saying, because they're all fake. Okay. Megan writes, Steph, the one thing that's driving me crazy about the marriage equality issue is the right-wing nutjobs that keep saying it alters the original definition of marriage. The original definition of marriage is the transfer of property from one family to another, i.e. cattle or daughters.
Yeah, right.
So for those who wish to preserve the original definition are equating women to
it was a business
cows.
Transaction.
Yes, yes.
Complete with a dowry.
Speak for all of us when I say, Andrew in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Steph. How you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I'm an educator and a victim of bullying when I was in middle school and high school. And Romney's apology to me sounded very insincere, being a victim of bullying, because what I would have liked to have heard him say is, yes, I did that, and I regret it every day of my life.
Yeah,
it
well,
was
somebody...
It was a childish indiscretion, and I'd like to take this opportunity to speak out against bullying. If I was president, I would try to have a national initiative to wipe out bullying. But he missed the chance because he's a coward. Yep. He would rather not face the issue. Where
did
we have
you...
a president... who is courageous and faces an issue.
Yeah, Andrew, did you read Charles Blow, his piece in the New York Times, Mean Boys? He makes exactly the point that you're making. This was really an opportunity to, you know, to talk about this. But you're right. First of all, the fact that he laughed when he was on the radio.
Well, you can't have a consistent narrative in one sentence. I mean, he was saying, I don't remember if this ever happened. I just take their word for it. But I didn't think he was gay. Well, which is it?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Really? So you don't remember, but you do remember that you didn't know he was gay. I mean, you're right. First of all, he clearly responded by lying.
Yeah, and giggling.
Right, and that's what I was saying. It was just so weird disconnect that he was laughing. Mm-hmm. Even if it didn't happen, which he clearly did with that number of witnesses, you know, the fact that you're chuckling over it, like, it's funny even now, remembering it. makes me chuckle warmly.
Remembering the tears in his eyes. If you were truly sorry and embarrassed about the incident, you would not be chuckling. Chuckling would be the farthest thing from what you would do.
Right. But the easiest guess the quote ever because of it. I just said.
Oh, all right.
Okay, who said, there is so much wrong with Romney's response, I hardly know where to start. Let's start here. If the haircutting incident happened as described, it's not a prank or hijinks or even simple bullying. It's an assault.
Yeah.
Second, Honorable Ben, don't chuckle at cruelty. Third, if it happened, Romney's explanation doesn't remember it doesn't ring too. It is a searing account in the telling that would have been even more so in the doing. How could such a thing simply melt into the milieu of other misbehavior? How could the screams of a classmate not echo even now?
Bill Donahue.
No, that's a really bad guess.
Bill Donahue?
Charles Blow.
Not Phil Donahue.
And don't say is that who he is or what he does, because that would be homophobic. All right. Who said, fourth, if someone was hurt or offended, I apologize, isn't a real apology. Even if no one felt hurt or offended, if you feel that you've done something wrong, you can apologize on that basis alone. Lastly, this would have been an amazing teaching moment about the impact of bullying if Romney had seized it. That's what a real leader would have done. That is what we would expect any adult to do. Who said that?
Ernst Blofeld.
No, Charles Blow in the New York Times, a great piece of Mean Boys. Leave on Saturday. Saturday's New York Times. Okay. Who said, while I have real reservations about holding senior citizens to account for what they did as seniors in high school, I have no reservations about expecting presidential candidates to know how to properly address the mistakes they once made. This is where Romney falls short once again. There was a malicious streak at the core of the high school boy in these accounts. Romney's muddled and confusing explanations and half apologies only reinforce concerns. There's something missing from the core of the man, sincerity and sensitivity. Who said that?
Odd job.
Oh, no.
No.
No, that was incorrect.
Random task?
See, you could have said it was Jennifer Aniston talking about Brad Pitt. Never mind. Okay. And finally, the bonus round. People understand regret. Romney may have been applauded if he had chosen to express to some to redeem himself, but he didn't. He chose obfuscation and obliviousness. Romney has an uncanny ability to turn a bad thing into a worse thing by failing to be forthright. Who said that?
Mr. Bigglesworth.
No, not Dr. Evil's cat. Charles Blow in the New York Times. Mean guys. All right. Oh, here's the love letter. I forgot. This is very important. I don't know if you remember on Friday when we had my personal comedy Jesus, John Fiegel, sang here. We got a very serious letter from Norma in Arizona.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was an illegal.
Yeah, Jesus kicking comedy ass and taking comedy names in Minneapolis Saturday night. However, we got a very serious letter on Friday because serious first in the fact that someone was asking me for relationship advice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, don't.
Wow!
Don't.
Thank God I had backup and John was here. But it was very serious. It was, you know, she's been in love with this man, you know, living with him for many years, about to get married. He just became a born-again Christian. And when they talked about the president coming, you know, being in favor of marriage equality, he said he wasn't sure if he could marry her anymore. He had to get counseling about that. And anyway, so it was a whole, and she's partially disabled and depends on him financially. And so anyway, John, we talked about it on the air and gave, you know, some advice. And it's a happy ending in a romantic way, not a dirty way.
Usually it's in a dirty way.
It might have been in a dirty way as well.
John spoke Bible to her, as he does. Norma writes, Steph, thank you for reading my letter and the response it got. I think you've saved my relationship. Well, I might as well do it for somebody else. I DVR'd. Maybe that's my skill in life.
That's your.
I DVR'd the show and was able to play it for my fiancé. He heard my email and what was said to him. After, he looked at me, smiled, and said he may have overreacted. With that, I felt it was time to tell him that my daughter, who he's raised since 1.5 years old, the daughter who calls him dad, loves and respects him, the fiery, redheaded, smart, stand-up-for-yourself 18-year-old, had finished her evolution by coming out to me.
Oh, dear.
Oops, there was a bonus round.
Yeah. Didn't know about that part.
She said on the phone to me, so does he know I'm gay? He does now. He's been warned that no matter what, I'll have her back. I'll not abandon my baby girl. If that means no him, so be it. Long story short, John, and yes, you may well have saved our marriage. Maybe at a sexy liberal show, we could get straight married. Thanks, Sean. Ecclesiastical move could straight marry, though.
Oh, getting straight married is so rare nowadays.
Oh, it's almost like it's exotic.
Yeah.
Okay. Mitt Romney.
There is no greater force for good in the nation than Christian conscience in action.
That was at Jerry Falwell's.
But according to people in that university, he's not a Christian.
Yeah, so he got heckled with
he's not a Christian!
Jesus is the only way, Mitt!
God, Gloria!
Yeah, somebody yelled out. Awkward. Let's go to Justin in Tacoma. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Steph. Love the show. I just wanted to call in about, we were talking about the issue with Romney bullying in high school and cutting the kids' hair off.
Yes.
And Eric was saying how the Romney campaign hasn't disputed the facts. Well, the family of the victim has said that the story isn't entirely accurate, reason being that the guy wasn't gay.
No, that's inaccurate. No, that is inaccurate. The guy was gay.
Yep.
The guy did turn out to be gay, and the family hasn't said anything.
Right. And,
what?
Yeah.
And but thank you for wherever you heard
from.
That.
Yeah. And everybody.
Thank you for whatever Andrew Breitbart website you got that off of.
And everybody who was interviewed for that article had the impression that this kid was gay.
Right.
Yeah, right. He was.
Whether
that
he was or not.
Everybody
yeah, whether he was or not, right. they attacked him because of his
of the perception that he
perceived gayness. Right.
And he was gay. He that's obviously was in the entire Washington Post story. He has since passed away, but he obviously.
And he's not here to fight for himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So all of this is, you know, kind of speculation now anyway.
Right. All right. Maurice in Norfolk, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I have another angle on the whole same-sex marriage issue. When Amendment 1 passed last week with the vote, I've been hearing a lot of news outlets basically use that as an indicator that President Obama is going to lose the state of North Carolina, even though I read a report that he eclipsed Romney by like 125,000 votes in the primary vote in North Carolina. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, like I was saying, you know, the media's job is more to look for a storyline. So we were saying, of course, they found the, you know, two black preachers that aren't going to vote for Obama now, so to, you know, to use that as a all black people are not going to vote for him. You know, and again, I don't think is the latest polling shows, I guess, what was it, Chris, 60% in the polling they just did said that it has no effect on their vote.
Right.
So I don't know. But, I mean, I assume most people are not single-issue voters, and I think the economy is going to be more front and central. I mean, this is telling. Top Republican pollster advises party to embrace gay marriage.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that should tell you. This is George W. Bush's pollster. Memo sent out by Republican pollster has been making the rounds online for its conclusion. The party needs to embrace gay marriage as part of its platform because of recent trends showing increased support for this most important social issue. He made the case the GOP should be fighting for gay marriage as a conservative issue Like Ted Olson, we wrote this brilliant piece in Newsweek, The Conservative Case for Gay Marriage, emphasizing that freedom means freedom for everybody.
That's right.
The memo contains polling data showing not only is support of gay marriage steadily increasing with the American people at large, but that a majority of Republicans now support extending basic legal protections to gays and lesbians like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, hospital visitation rights, yada, yada. He explained how the GOP can frame support of gay marriage as a conservative issue. So, I mean, this will be hilarious if Mitt Romney flip-flops. because they're saying, any pollster can look at data, Jim, and go, this is an avalanche. We are losing this issue. And they're talking about that in terms of polling. This issue has gone at a very accelerated pace, you know, compared to any other issue. And I'm telling you, Mitt Romney's going to be like, that was always my idea. Right after the auto bailout, I always said marriage equality.
Yeah.
That was me.
And I really think it's energized Obama's base that left him in 2010, youth vote.
And I didn't think I could get any more energized.
Yeah, you're quite the energy.
Whee! Okay, 45 minutes. I'm the Obama Energizer buddy.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller
show. Are we going to rock the house, y'all?
Yeah, do it. No. 50 minutes after the hour. Rock the house, y'all. Thanks. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear. Well, this is awkward, Jim. Right in the middle of the marriage equality debate, I found a new future husband. I have a love letter from my new friend Woody. Woody writes, "You are a very good-looking young lady." However,
young lady.
Listen, it gets better. It gets better.
We know it's not Woody Allen if he considers you a young.
Shush! It gets better. However, your brain power is in the wrong direction. You should be right, not left. I learned me mistake 20 years ago.
Oh, bless his heart.
Clearly, my brain power is in the wrong. I haven't learned me mistake 20 years ago. I can see clearly now.
The rain is gone.
Wait for it.
I can see all obstacles in my way.
Wait till you get 50-ish. You'll see.
Ah.
Why? I'll let you know when I ever get that ancient Woody. Don't be fooled.
Parts of her are much younger than that.
Do not be fooled, my young darling. Your new friend Woody. Oh, thank you, Woody. I'll check back in with you when I'm 50-ish.
Okay. Boy, that facelift really paid off, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What? Everyone thinks you're less than 50.
How many procedures have you had?
A bunch. Okay. Tommy and someone pointed that out at the Q&A in Minneapolis that many parts of me are younger than my last girlfriend.
Yes.
Tommy in North Carolina here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
Hi.
I was debating Mitt Romney's antics, and it becomes obvious that he was hardwired at a young age to take advantage of people who were weak. I mean, he walked a blind man into a door.
Yeah. I have to say, that was, I think, the most disturbing thing to me. Particularly the way they described his reaction.
Oh, you've done it again.
Giggling furiously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I think we have some, I forgot, I have what? Some more. Yeah, give me some comedy music, because I forgot. Gail Collins did a piece in the New York Times, Jim. There's some more pranks we hadn't heard of.
More pranks and hijinks?
Oh, my God, it's so funny, funny, funny.
Marvelous.
Right, talk amongst yourselves, because I probably shouldn't have said that until I actually had located it somewhere.
Oh, dear.
Hmm. Okay, let's just take another call while I find that. Marty in Maryland.
So you're not going to pay attention to the call, you just admitted it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Hi, Marty, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two questions. So the first question is, I have both the Boogity Boogity Cheese shirt, the sexy tour shirt.
Oh my God!
I don't know which one to wear to Columbus in August.
I would go with the brand new sexy liberal one, because that'll be Hal in Columbus with us.
Yes, and Boogity Cheese is kind of Aisha's thing.
Yes.
Possible to get the other one autographed by you too if I brought it?
Absolutely. Bring it on down. We'll see you August 18th. August 18th, Columbus. Okay, you know what?
You need some help over there.
I've got it. Nobody help me. Mama's got it.
This is quality television and radio.
How is it different from Rush Limbaugh?
Well, it's in a stack somewhere. Snurdly, I don't, I'll find this, my friends.
You need a Snurdly.
Yeah, you need a Snurdly.
Yeah, my producer is real and not fictional. It's hard on television to have a fictional producer.
It's not right, Snurdly.
All right.
We've never seen Snurdly.
All right, here's the, give me the comedy music. Here it is. Gail Collins. Okay. In the New York Times. He has a long-standing affinity for practical jokes. Let's revisit a few. Invited to the wedding, in a wedding in which his wife was one of the bridesmaids, Romney livened up the afternoon by snitching the groom's shoes and using nail polish to write help on the soles so all the guests could see it when the happy couple knelt down to take their vows. So that's funny, ruining somebody's the happiest day of their life. That's funny. Oh, I'm sure the bride sends him a thank you note every year for that. On his first visit to the White House during the Clinton administration, Romney protested when he was handed a red visitor's badge with the letter A. I'm not the one who cheated on my wife. He should be wearing the scarlet A, not me, Mitt said repeatedly to the fun-loving White House security staff, who I guess didn't really find that hilarious.
It's always funnier when you repeat it several
times. Yeah, several times. Scarlet A. Mm-hmm. During his stint in France, Romney entertained a homesick and undoubtedly edgy young fellow missionary by coming to his door wearing a sheet and impersonating a French terrorist slash bandit.
Huh. Uh-huh. Wow.
That's not funny.
Mm-hmm. And then the one we talked about, the teacher whose students enjoy making fun of his poor eyesight was walking with Romney and some of his classmates when they came to two sets of glass doors. Mitt opened the first for his professor, swept his hand forward to indicate the second set was open as well. Oh, get the canned laughter ready. Then laughed hysterically when the teacher smacked into the closed door because, it's...
See, because he's blind.
Because he's disabled.
He couldn't see it coming.
A disabled person. And see how that's...
What did he kick the crutches away from a crippled kid?
What a douche. Mm. Yeah. God.
Rhonda in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. I was calling about the slippery slope guy.
Yes.
the key word in the term marriage equality is equality. And the reason that polygamy is not on the slippery slope to legality is because marriage between two consenting adults doesn't bring with it social problems. Polygamous marriages do. In Utah, there's a whole system of social service agencies that have been set up to help quote-unquote lost boys. And these are preteens and teen boys that the male leaders of these families kick out, like at the age of 12 and 13, because they don't want the competition for the younger women.
Right. Yep.
So if you were one of these young women and you had a choice, however slight the choice was, to marry somebody, who are you going to pick? You're going to pick the fat old guy who already has 5, 6, 7, 8 wives,
and,
or
right.
the young man with little or no baggage.
Right. And Rhonda, Captain Slippery Slope, always they always forget that, you know, there are things that are already illegal. It's like, no, you can't marry a child. No, you can't marry your daughter. No, you can't marry a goat.
Right.
Because marriage equality means a partnership between two people.
Consenting adults.
Polygamous marriages don't have that. The women are subordinate. The boys are subordinate. The girls are property. And social problems are created because of those facts. So that's why, Mr. Slippery Slope Guy, this is not on that slope.
There you go. He will forever be known as Mr. Slippery Slope Guy.
So Manny boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo.
Yeah. Mitt Romney at Liberty University this weekend.
So it is today with the enduring institution of marriage. Marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman.
And his sister wives.
Well, that's not what your great-grandfather thought, but oh, well.
Oh, Frothy's back. Frothy the Santorum.
I think all states but one allow gay adoption.
No, not that one. Okay. We're skipping to Rick Santorum. Right.
This is a very potent weapon, if you will, for Governor Romney, if he's willing to step up and take advantage of a president who is very much out of touch with the values of America.
Okay. JR in New York on Romney's speech. Hello, JR.
How are you today?
Good.
Stephanie?
Go ahead.
Good. You played an excerpt from Willard's speech yesterday at Liberty.
Yeah.
And in there, he said something to the effect of Christianity is the most important thing and blah, 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 whatever it was he said, but it's that about Christianity. But first of all, what does he know about Christianity? He's a Mormon. And secondly, if
somebody
so
pointed that out to him.
And,
heckler.
And if it's so important, why doesn't he convert?
Yeah, well,
because
he's trying to have it, you know, always, and that's the basic fact. Is I'm not saying that, Chris. I'm saying the people in that audience don't think he's a Christian.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. But the people of the LDS Church, they do worship Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So it is a Christian sect.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Jackie Schechner, Superwoman,
yeah,
healthcare expert, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you, Minneapolis. 6 minutes after the hour, do not go drinking with Aisha Tyler in Minneapolis. That's all I'm saying. She orders alcohol I've never even heard of before. She orders the fanciest of cocktails. All right.
I don't think she orders cocktails. I think she just orders good scotch.
Uh-huh.
No, she ordered something, but I don't know what it was.
Really?
Yeah, we were drinking wine. We were drinking everything. I don't remember anymore. But anyway, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, there's pictures up of the first three-way interracial teabagging demonstration. A good time was had by all.
She also enjoys a good cigar.
Yes.
Seriously, she does.
She's awesome. She all right. Thank you, Minneapolis. Are you referring to her cracker, her husband? Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone. Oh, looky here. It's another unsolicited testimonial from Jed. Steph, yesterday I sent berries to my mother-in-law. She's a tea party type.
Blue.
I'm hoping that by having type Stephanie in the box, some super secret liberal chocolate osmosis process will begin to drive the tree party silliness from her brain, and the money I send to whoever Michelle Bachmann's opponent is won't be canceled out this time. Cheers. Good. Let's hope so. How exciting. All right. Devon writes, Steph, Current needs an app for listening to your show live rather than a podcast. People in the South can only hear you on TV. Let me tell you, I need to take you on the road with me.
Okay.
Chris Lavoie, give him the fun facts on how Current doesn't have an app right now.
Current doesn't have an app, but there are lots of apps where you can listen to the Stephanie Miller Show live, such as iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. You can listen to the show on Stitcher. All three of those, among others, are ways that you can listen to. Radio.com has an app. You can listen to the Stephanie Miller Show on that as well. So there are lots of ways you can get an app.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
The Current does have a lot of fancy, exciting things, don't they, Chris?
Yes, they do.
And here's one of them now. Oh, my God. For the first time ever, I can hear Jackie Schechner. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
I understand that the people at Current are working on the fancy audio hizzamoozles that I'll actually be able to hear you.
There's a soup can string thing.
We could just do walkie-talkies. You're right. So we got to go for my patented Friday hike and drink on Friday.
Should clarify that it's not actually drinking while hiking.
No, we did wait till seconds after we were done hiking to start drinking.
Although it would have been more fun had it been drink than hike.
Yes. Mm. However, one of the many things I found out about the fascinating persona of Jackie Schechner is you are a big healthcare geek.
Huge dork.
Yeah, giant dork. What did you do? You were at CNN, and then you tell us what you did before you came to Current.
I was the National Communications Director for Healthcare for America Now, which some people may know as HCAN.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So this is what happens when I know new fancy healthcare geeks. I texted you immediately on Saturday when I saw this in the LA Times. Global push to guarantee health coverage leaves U.S. behind. China, Mexico, and other countries far less affluent are working to provide medical insurance for all citizens. It's viewed as an economic investment.
Yeah.
Why? What a shockingly refreshing idea. I wish we thought
of
it. Yeah.
Imagine that. No, I mean, we have a real problem here because we have the for-profit health insurance industry, right? So they don't actually provide any health care services, but they make money off of our health care system.
Spend a lot of money on big fancy signs.
Exactly. And we've got the problem here that we've got all of these corporate interests who are trying to make money off of something that should be, I think, a guaranteed right to all of the citizens of the United States.
Yeah.
Just like they do in those socialized medicine countries.
Jackie.
Socialism.
Yeah. I mean, but you make the point I've just never gotten, that it should be a right, shouldn't it? I mean, when your house is burning and you call the fire department, they don't ask if you have insurance. I mean, how is this not something that should be a basic right, particularly in a country like America?
Because we have all of these corporate interests who make so much money off of it. And so what's happened over the years is they have so much money to lobby against any changes to our system that would allow us to have it be somehow a part of our social fabric. And so it comes into play where the big insurance companies, even the pharmaceutical companies, some of these medical conglomerates just have too much invested for there to be any sort of wholesale change that would actually take care of our citizens the way I think we should.
Jackie, did this article make you as mad as it made me, because I think it's just yet another example of how backwards this Republican Party has become, how regressive they've become, because literally the first paragraph, even as Americans debate whether to scrap President Obama's health care law and its promise of guaranteed health coverage, many far less affluent nations are moving in the opposite direction to provide medical insurance to all citizens. I mean, that says it right there, that we finally achieved this here, and the Republicans want to roll that back.
Yeah, well, what's so astonishing to me is I don't think health care reform ever should have been a partisan issue. Because when your health insurance company denies you the care that you need, it doesn't ask whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ask whether you're conservative or progressive, right? They just turn around and say, we don't think we want to pay for this, or it's experimental, or we need some sort of additional 17-step approval process to get you coverage for something that should be included according to your policy. I mean, it's everybody gets the red tape from their health insurance company, right? They don't ask specifically who you are when they do that. So there's nothing in health insurance reform or health care reform, depending on how you look at it, that should be partisan either way. Unfortunately,
this was Bob Dole's health care plan. This is what I mean about how far right the Republican Party has gone, and how that is such a huge impediment. I mean, if you as an American pick up this story and read, China, after years of underfunding health care, is on track to complete a three-year, $124 billion initiative projected to cover more than 90% of their residents. Mexico, people are going to start self-deporting to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm going to self-deport to get better health insurance. Mexico, which a decade ago covered less than half its population, just completed an eight-year drive for universal coverage that has dramatically expanded Mexicans' access to life-saving treatments for diseases such as leukemia and breast cancer. In Thailand, where the gross domestic product per person is one-fifth of America's, just 1% of the population lacks health insurance. And wait for it, Jackie, in sub-Saharan Africa, Rwanda and Ghana, two of the world's poorest nations are working to create networks of insurance plan to cover their citizens. We're getting faced by Ghana on health care.
That doesn't bode well for us.
No.
You know, one of the things the article went on to say, too, is that in the electoral process, that it's actually a positive in India and Chile, for example.
Yeah, imagine that.
In those countries, if people run on the issue of health care, or they stay away from repealing any sort of health care because it's what people want and like. And then there's the economic concern, of course, right?
Jackie, I was just going to say, somebody, the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, quoted here saying, this is truly a global movement. As countries advance, they're realizing that creating universal health care systems is a necessity for long-term economic development. The international drive to provide health care for everyone is increasingly leaving America behind. The expert said, we're really an outlier.
Yeah, I think the latest numbers are 62% of bankruptcies in America are due to medical debt, and every 90 seconds another family declares bankruptcy due to medical expenses. I mean, it's extraordinary how much of our money is going towards paying medical bills, and it's money that we're not investing in other aspects of our lives, right? I mean, if you have to save money to pay for medical bills, or you go bankrupt, you can't pay your mortgage, you can't shop, there's all sorts of things that you can't do.
Jackie, this is the point you just made. They're saying this with Mexico. Before embarking on its healthcare push, the Mexican government found that 4 million people every year are being driven into bankruptcy by illness. That was a huge drag on the economy. I mean, seriously, Mitt Romney's going to get his dream of people self-deporting for better healthcare. I mean, it really is infuriating, isn't it?
Well, the Romney thing is extraordinary, because when we were going through this healthcare fight in 2009 and 2010, one of the big arguments was that this was going to be so modeled on Massachusetts, and the problem that Massachusetts has, well, it has most of its citizens covered, that it actually has a cost problem, because there's no mechanism in place to actually control costs. So it's got the coverage, but it hasn't dealt with the cost issue. And we were very concerned, as the national plan started to look more and more like Massachusetts, that was actually going to be a problem on the national level. It's astonishing to me that Mitt Romney is now turning around and trying to run against it, or saying he will repeal it, because the national plan looks so much like it.
Right, and his alternative doesn't include any provision to guarantee coverage, as this article said. I mean, two decades ago, the article goes on to say, many former communist countries in Eastern Europe and elsewhere dismantled their universal health care systems amid a drive to set up free market economies. But popular demand for insurance protection has fueled an effort to nearly all of these countries to rebuild their systems. Yep. Similar pressure coming from Asia and Latin America, where rising living standards have raised expectations for better services.
Right. It doesn't work in healthcare. The free market economy doesn't work in healthcare, because everybody's going to need healthcare at some point. It's not a free market economic product. It works totally differently than any other economic market.
And a lot of the money here isn't going towards healthcare per se, but to bureaucrats whose sole job is to deny people coverage.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
how these companies make their money.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and also, Jackie, they, you know, the article raises a point. This stands in stark contrast to America's historic leadership in education. Long before more, you know, countries in Europe, U.S. Ensured access to public schooling. Today, the U.S. is alone among the world's richest nations in not providing health care coverage to all citizens. I mean, I guess, the key questions now are, how did we get here and how do we ever get out?
No, well, that's the $64,000 question, yeah. Right? I mean, or $64 billion question.
Well, you're Jackie Schechner, for God's sake.
I can answer everything. No, I mean, I don't know what we do. I mean, the idea that we had a healthcare system that would put some cost control and competition into place is what we were fighting for, and that's why the public option was of such interest. It wasn't a token. It was actually something that would have put cost control into place and would have driven down the cost in the market overall. And so there's concern in that regard. But we'll see what happens. I mean, we won't have full implementation until 2014.
Well, Jackie, remember during this debate, the right wing kept bringing up Chile. But, you know, they talk about this in this article as well. In Chile, where free market reforms eroded the country's universal health system in the 1980s, a socialist candidate won the presidency in 2000 for the first time in 30 years on a promise to renew guaranteed health care. So, and it goes on to say many political leaders around the world have also concluded creating a system of universal health care is crucial to remaining competitive globally and sustaining economic growth, which is exactly President Obama's arguments.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's what he ran on. I mean, it changed a little bit. I mean, he ran on the idea of a public partner, public-private combination system. And then when he started to enact a reform or started to work on it, we ended up getting rid of that public component. But that was what he originally ran on, and that was part of the campaign.
Well, if Romney wins, I think the conclusion of the article has one solution, that is move to Rwanda.
I think we should go. We should just take the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
There you go. In Rwanda, researchers found citizens who joined the nation's health program were nearly 75% less likely to be hit with a catastrophic health care bill that threatened to bankrupt them.
Yeah.
Rwanda has figured this out.
I don't recommend taking a show on the road to Rwanda because we can get health care there, but we can't get an ISDN line.
Yeah, I was worrying about that, whether or not we could.
What happens if someone machetes the ISDN line? Have you thought about it?
Well, we have to get it.
We have to get one first, and I don't think we can.
Jackie, you are the healthcare geek that you promised. And,
I don't lie about that.
Yeah.
Technically, we should know. I'm wishing her good morning because it's late afternoon for her.
For her,
exactly. Time for you. It's your bedtime, isn't it?
I think we've proven I'm as dorky as I say I am.
Yes, you are. And a fabulous newswoman. Jackie, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Talk to you again soon. There
Yay,
she goes.
Jackie Schechner.
Yay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, Monroe in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Monroe.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Oh, your show's great.
Thank you.
Wrapped in cake.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Wrapped in cake. Yay.
And
who doesn't love cake?
Cake and ponies. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering why these biblical definition of marriage proponents aren't addressing concubines.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they were good enough for King Dave. I want some, too.
All right.
Hey, Dave.
King Dave to you.
Throw me some
Call
concubines.
Me Dave. Jen in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Stephanie, I just love you so much. And this is the official Write the Damn Book Already nag of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I'm writing the damn book already. Check got here. Ka-ching.
And I have a new title for you. I try to come up with titles that
yes.
are, you know, pithy and relevant. And I think that the next title should be The Stephanie Miller Story, Who's Got My Big Gay Back?
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Are you almost done with the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any second now. Uh-huh.
Oh.
No, I just started.
Oh.
Jerry in Pennsylvania, you're on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hi, Steph. Love the show,
Thank
TV
you.
And radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah, about Romney and his half-baked excuse for the bullying. I'm about his age. I think he's a year older than I am. And I'm 64. I think he's 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every adult out there that either hears that knows he's lying. Because I can go back and remember every bullying incident I ever saw in school. I was never.
Well, and Jerry, by the way, the caller that called, apparently the kid's family has come out, I think, and challenged. I don't know if he was gay, but I think, again, it's not the point. He was perceived to be gay. All right. The kids in the article said he was the kid that was perceived to be gay. And it wasn't the only homophobic incident that was reported in that story. So,
unless you have Alzheimer's, any adult from 18 to 90 can remember something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty vivid. Exactly. No, he just once again made a bad thing worse by lying.
Apparently, lying keeps you young because Mitt looks awfully good for 65.
Yes, he certainly does.
He's got a painting in his attic or something.
He certainly does.
Well, he also doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. What do you do?
What does he do? Goody two shoes.
Fires people is what he does.
Oh, mittens.
And so Mitt said,
come on, Karen, freaky people. I need to go outside.
So they pushed me all around and they threw me on the ground and they didn't even tell me why. He said,
you don't look like a fine, upstanding young man. I'll give you a haircut. I think that's what we'll do.
So they took up my head and on top of me they said,
corporations are bullies too. And a matter of fact, it's all
fine, fine, everything is fine. Trees in the sea. Just the right height.
I have this, but don't have that.
Can't you see? It's mine.
It's mine, you understand? Mine! Oh, mine! Mine, mine, mine!
Mike and Raleigh.
Yeah!
Slam dunk. Hey, if firing people keeps you younger.
You're fired.
Oh, my God, I feel better
that's
already.
So that's how you stay so young.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Mama, I wanted to let you know it was barely noticeable that you were out drinking with Aisha before the show on Saturday.
Oh, actually, we drank mostly after the show, but a little bit before, a little bit.
No, it kind of seemed like you were drinking before, but that's just me.
A little tiny bit.
We ate
a Fred Flintstone-sized steak with it as well. So we tried.
Okay, so maybe it was a food coma. Whatever. Anyway, I was calling to say, I'm a little late to the party on the Bill Donahue thing, but you know, my husband and I are non-procreating heterosexuals.
How dare you?
And I'm so tired of like the whole, you know, the gays can't have kids, blah, blah, blah. As far as I'm concerned, all my gay friends who have kids, they're the people who should be having kids. They actually had to go through some effort to get there.
Thank you. Gay people don't have kids by accident. That's right.
They always choose to have kids.
You don't accidentally sit in a turkey baster. It's very difficult to do.
Well, unless you're a vicar and you sit on a potato by accident. But yeah.
Potatoes don't get you pregnant.
No. Thank God for him. Okay. Nick in New York real quick. Hi, Nick. Nick going once, going twice. Donna in Texas real quick. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I just had two real quick points. One, I know Rodney isn't a 99%er. He went to a restaurant not too long ago and ordered a burger, and when he got it and it was wrapped in paper, he said, oh, how quaint.
Quaint?
A burger wrapped in paper.
What's quaint about a burger?
One other thing that I wanted to talk, because Jackie Schlechner talked about it real quick, was I have Obamacare, and I love it. I'm 62, and I have no other insurance. It was the only, with pre-existing condition. It's the only insurance that I could get and afford, and there's not a lot of people that know about it, so we need to get the message out.
Get the word out. There you go. You just did. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Joe Courtney, wrapped in paper. Next.
How quaint.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, for someone who's super, super hot, you're really cranky.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, who said Senate Republicans voted today to prevent even debate on an issue that will affect more than 7 million Americans on July 1st, with just 53 days remaining to prevent a catastrophe for middle-class families. The total lack of engagement by House Republican leaders and the abuse of the filibuster by their Senate counterparts show congressional Republicans not serious about finding a bipartisan solution to defuse this time bomb. The American people are looking for swift, long-term relief on student loan debt. Congressional Republicans owe them better than another filibuster. Who said that?
James Buchanan, the first gay president.
No, that was completely incorrect. It's Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut who joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
That's the greatest introduction I've ever had.
Boy, oh boy. You know, it's interesting, Representative. Everybody says, oh, we're not going to get anything done. It's political season. But you just think, even politically, this would be a no-brainer. I mean, you know, for people that claim to be trying to get the youth vote, how do you let student loans double?
Well, and the power of this issue is something that, you know, really is broad and deep as the entire American middle class, because, you know, when you talk about the financial challenges that people have just to survive today, paying for your kids' college or paying for your own college is really now, you know, risen to the level of buying a house. There, yesterday, by the way, there was a very good front page story in the New York Times, which you can still read online, which just talks chapter and verse about this, you know, incredible transformation of college costs and college debt, which has really happened over the last 10 years. And, you know, it's great that we have the focus on this, you know, very clear choice on July 1st of letting the rates double for the Stafford Student Loan Program or not. But having said that, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, this issue, frankly, is going to require much more than a one-year Band-Aid. It is a real threat to, you know, young people in terms of their having the skills to succeed in life and whether or not our country is frankly going to have the ability to compete. And people get this. And that's why, you know, Mitt Romney beat a hasty retreat once the president got on the tour and went to three college campuses. And Boehner, who voted against the rate cut back in 2007 and voted for the Ryan budget, which locked it in, again, same thing.
And it showed what complete disarray this party is in. They had no interest in you know, stopping student loans from doubling until Mitt Romney is forced to have to say he's for it. And then they scramble going, oh, okay, now we're for that.
Right.
And yet they're still blocking it. So what happens next?
Well, again, I think, the version that the Boehner put on the floor, which, again, bypassed committees, no markup, no hearing, nothing, just overnight showed up, again, had a pay for that took money out of screening programs for breast cancer, cervical cancer, heart disease, childhood, you know, diseases. I mean, it was just the most disgraceful, grotesque attempt to try and gesture on this issue. Well, the president said that's veto bait, it's dead. Then the Senate takes up the bill with a pay for that the American people would actually support, which was closing some corporate tax loopholes. And again, the Republicans showed their true colors and lined up behind the filibuster to block even debate.
It's literally like, you know, we need to take our focus off losing the youth vote to focus on losing the women's vote for a second. It's their priorities. Their priorities are just—they're just so out of whack. You don't even know where to start with this.
So Harry Reid's plan, again, we're about 48 days to the doubling of the rate. I think really it's just to keep hammering this and just keep sort of forcing votes on this until they cry uncle, which they will, because this is something that is really danger zone for any political party to be on the wrong side of, with independent voters, suburban voters. Again, access to Stafford student loans is something that you don't need to spend a lot of time explaining how important that is for middle class families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Representative, you happened to read the front page story in the New York Times yesterday about student debt. I mean, it really is stunning. I mean, to use the word crushing is almost an understatement in how long it will take these kids to pay this off, right?
Yes. I mean, again, full of stories of young people carrying 25,000 plus amounts of debt. Again, some in the range of six figures. If you really want to pursue a postgraduate degree, particularly in things like medicine, again, six-figure debt is almost automatic, you know, given the reality that we have here. People are putting off decisions in terms of starting families, starting careers, buying houses because of the albatross that is hanging around their neck. And, you know, there's really, again, a broad range of reforms that we need in terms of starting with just better information to kids while they're still in high school about, you know, what this decision means when you sign up for a program that may or may not, you know, really offer true gainful employment at the end of the day, and which may involve a lot more debt than was sort of initially hyped from some of these college admissions offices. So, I mean, that we need to absolutely focus on. But clearly, you know, the Stafford Student Loan Program is the workhorse of higher education affordability, and we need to protect that lower rate.
Well, and, you know, once again, as you say, we've seen this play time and time again. They will only do the right thing at the last minute when forced into it, forced into a corner politically, right?
Absolutely. And you know, whether it was closing the government, you know, the default, the payroll tax cut, That's been sort of the MO of 112th Congress, is that they have to get dragged kicking and screaming to the table. But I will tell you, I mean, long range in terms of 2012, the youth vote, which clearly slipped badly in 2010, I mean, frankly, I think it's one of the backstories of why the Republicans took control of the House, is that if you look at college campus precincts around the country, it was a dramatic drop-off, not just from 08, but from even 06.
Yeah. Yeah.
And frankly, our party has got to wake up and recognize that this issue is one of the reasons why, there is big dissatisfaction out there. But, the good news is we're on the right side. I mean, we own this. But we also have to talk about it, not just in terms of a one-year Band-Aid, but of a long-term fix.
Yep, absolutely. Representative, always doing such great work and explaining it so clearly for us. Come back again real soon.
Okay, Stephanie.
Thanks, Representative. Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut, Marion, New Mexico, on this very subject. Hi, Mayor.
Buenos dias, chica.
Buenos dias.
Buenos nachos.
First off, my husband and I are still basking in the afterglow of your Albuquerque show. It was fabulous.
Me too.
And I wanted to expand on what the representative just said regarding student loans, and two very important points that I want all your listeners to know, particularly your conservative listeners and right-wing love muffins.
Yes.
First off, when President Obama did the student loan reform and cut out the middleman, that instantly reduced student loan rates. When I had student loans in college, they were at 9%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I graduated with my undergraduate degree with $14,000 in debt.
Oh, wow.
God.
Yeah, and took 10 years.
Well, the representative, when he talked about, putting off, getting married or having kids, I'm thinking I may use that excuse. That's why I just paid off my loans. That's why, okay, I'm just a loser.
That's the first point. The second point is, and this doesn't get out very often, is when people talk about the student loan program, they always seem to be talking about for college. What a lot of people don't know is you can also apply these loans to trade and technical schools. I went to university on
take
student
that
loan
Rick
program,
Santorum,
and my brother went to automotive school on student loans. So it's not just for post-secondary higher education,
not
but
just
for technical and trade education.
Not just
as well.
Snobby elitists like you, right?
Exactly.
All right. Good points, all. Thank you, Dennis. My right-wing love muffin in South Carolina. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hopefully you'll let me speak for just 1 minute before you
okay.
cut me off.
Right.
I want to talk about the problem I've had with the gay marriage talk of the last week is you've got one man who is a leftist who approximately half the country does not agree with his policies come out and says he supports gay marriage. And that's it.
Obama's not a leftist.
Yeah,
oh,
no, he's
logical,
very centrist.
Political analysis.
Okay, well, let me finish.
All right.
And that's it. Game over. Either you're on the right side of history or the wrong side.
In his opinion. He stated his opinion. He obviously can't. Pardon me?
That's talking points from the left. You're trying to shame
Ted Olson is not on the left.
There's millions of
Dick Cheney
of us
is
out
for
here.
Gay marriage.
Yeah, Ted Olson is for gay marriage.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. But what I'm saying is,
Agree? My point is, do you agree with leftists like Dick Cheney who are for gay marriage?
No, I don't actually.
Okay.
Me and millions of Americans still believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and we're being shamed into your thinking. I mean,
you don't have to believe how we believe. That's it's America. We have a right to state our opinion.
You know, if you feel shame, then that's really your problem.
You're stating it as a fact that we're on the wrong side of history. Says who?
I believe that you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well
if you feel shame for that, maybe you should look inward.
Well, just looking at the trend.
No, I believe that's, you're wrong. So who's right and who's wrong?
I believe I'm right and you're wrong, and nanny nanny boo boo.
Morally wrong. It's just when you're talking about the wrong side of history, you're against the trend.
Yes.
That's all that means.
Yes. And we mean that in a very respectful, mature way.
Yeah. Polls have shown that since even 1996, the approval of gay marriage has gone up by 40%, something
Thank
like
you.
That.
And I guess we have our first gay president, according to Newsweek.
James Buchanan is the first gay president.
Yeah, he is.
It's just
spinning
really
in his. Yeah, I was
childish.
Well, the problem is because there's people like Dennis that think that's a smear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're trying to outdo Time Magazine with their.
However, Andrew Sullivan wrote this piece, and he talked about being in tears and how moving it was.
He was in tears on the Chris Matthews show this weekend. It was actually quite moving.
Yeah. Hmm. He said he writes Obama had to discover his black identity and then reconcile it with his white family, just as gays discover their homosexual identity and then have to reconcile it with their heterosexual family. Let me simply say this: I think of all the gay kids out there who now know they have a president on their side. I think of all those in the plague years, shut out of hospital rooms, thrown out of apartments, written out of wills, treated like human garbage because they loved another human being. The interview changes no laws; it has no tangible effect, but reaffirms for me the integrity of this man we are immensely lucky to have in the White House. Obama's journey on this has been like that of many other Americans when faced with the actual reality of gay lives and gay relationships. Obama did more than make a logical step. He let go of fear. He is clearly prepared to let the political chips fall as they may. That's why we elected him. Mm-hmm. Let's play compare and contrast, and then you have right-wing douche nozzle Alan West.
What about something like a law that says that it's not illegal to hire or fire people because they're gay?
That don't happen out here in the United States of America.
You don't think people get fired because they're gay?
Well, I don't see that as being a big issue with small business.
Wow. Yeah. In many, many states, you can get fired for being gay.
Yeah, it's not happening, but if it is, I don't care. Yeah. Basically what he said.
Wow.
He said, but it's not happening. No.
It's not happening, but if it did, great.
Yeah.
By the way, who said, I wanted to celebrate the bravery of the president's statement, a statement long overdue, but all the more appreciated in this political year, we are on the right side of history. Who said that?
Marcus Bachman.
No, bad, bad guess. The artist behind The New Yorker, who also did the cover on the marriage equality and the president's blah, blah, blah. Oh, look at this. Huh. It's almost like a pattern of some sort. Romney spokesman gleefully outed a trans woman, ending her career. Huh. One doesn't have to reach that far back to find other incidences of LGBT bullying from Romney's close staff. Oh, an Etch-a-Sketch guy. Eric Fernstrom outed a transgender woman in the Massachusetts House of Representatives, effectively ending her political career when he was a reporter for the Boston Herald. The GQ profile tells of his apparent glee when he found the representative's birth certificate. Romney himself also abolished a commission working against LGBT bullying in Massachusetts as governor.
Wow. He's anti-bullying. Interesting.
Yeah. In a totally unrelated story, Paul Babu from Pinal County.
Paul Babu of Pinal County, Arizona.
Sure. He announced, he announced he was gay.
Well, I think the Phoenix New Times announced it for him.
Yes. He was accused by a lover of abusing his power.
Right.
Well, he threatened to deport him.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, he knew he had no papers because he was... currently in his bed with no pants on.
Right.
Or as Jim said.
Where are your papers? In my pants.
¿Dónde están los pantalones?
Los papeles están en mis pantalones.
Ay, papi.
At the foot of the bed.
Babu said he decided to withdraw because of complications about the succession of his chief deputy.
Whatever.
Right. He also, just in completely unrelated story, announced he supported same-sex marriage, which, he's not so much a Fox favorite anymore, is he?
No. Actually, I haven't seen him on Fox in quite a while. Actually, not since this incident.
Well, because he was their tough-on-the-border guy.
Number. That's right.
Until they found out that he was not so good at securing the border of his own...
bedroom.
Bed. So much. All right, 48 minutes to the hour, right back. Oh, we have the that great new Obama ad on the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Which would leave us with another 4 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
Well,
that's about all we got.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
Let's get to work.
Yeah.
As Ed would say, 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. I just used it on the road this weekend. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for our exclusive offer. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. All right. The president talking about refinancing mortgages.
I'm calling on Congress to give every responsible homeowner the chance to save an average of $3,000 a year by refinancing their mortgage.
Mm. Just kick them out of their homes.
Or
that's
as
the only thing to do.
Mittens calls it a shiny object.
You're going to find throughout this campaign season that the president's team will be doing everything in their power to try and hold up various shiny objects.
Yeah.
Like people being able to stay in their houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. President Obama allowed three proposals to address America's struggling housing market today, or excuse me, in Nevada. Starting with the, you know, the state's second highest foreclosure rate is in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of the speech, Romney circulated a release hitting Obama's housing record. And, but yes, as you recall, he was the one, Jim, who said, don't try to stop the foreclosure process. Let's let it run its course and hit bottom. So hurry up, people. Get out of those houses so we can,
start living in boxes.
That was his housing proposal.
Right.
Is like, let's hurry this up. It's just a natural process.
Not everybody in America can live in a van down by the river, for crying out loud.
This recovery's been the slowest, most tepid since Hoover. It's been that way because the president's policies have not encouraged this economy to grow. They've scared the dickens out of banks. They scared the dickens out of insurance companies. They scared employers that are in the manufacturing sector.
Yeah, the dickens. Oh, it scared the dickens right out of them.
The one to get us out of the Hoover doldrums was a Democrat.
Yes.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
So the president has a new ad out everybody's talking about Obama's, Romney's economic record. Let's play a little skosh, shall we?
It was something that was American.
Oh, all right, or not.
A little less than a skosh.
Sure. All right. Okay. He's chewing up our 4 minutes.
This is stupid.
Okay, Danette in Georgia is on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Danette.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
I am just slightly confused about how Romney wants to tout his amazing business acumen, and then when he's called on his record, he wants to whine like a punk. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, this is what this is about. Here
don't
it is
look
now.
At my record.
Here it is now.
I was a steel worker for 30 years. We had a reputation for quality products. It was something that was American-made, and we weren't rich. But I was able to put my daughter through college.
Having a good paying job that you can support and raise a family on is hugely important.
That stopped with the sale of the plant to Bain Capital.
I know how business works. I know why jobs come and why they go.
Bain Capital was the majority owner. They were responsible. Mitt Romney was deeply involved in the influence that he exercised over these companies.
They made as much money off it as they could. And they closed it down. They filed for bankruptcy without any concern for the families or the communities.
It was like a vampire. She came in and sucked the life out of us.
It was like watching an old friend bleed to death.
As I look around at the millions of Americans without work, it breaks my heart.
Bain Capital sought elimination of the pension plan and termination of employee and retiree life insurance and health insurance.
I was devastated. It makes me angry. Those guys were all rich. They all have more money than they'll ever spend. Yet they didn't have the money to take care of the very people that made the money for them.
Yep. There you go.
Bain Capital walked away with
it. And it says you can get the full story at RomneyEconomics.com.
Yeah, it's like
that's how business works, my friend.
By the way, it's all over now. Anyway, Betty White has endorsed Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, beloved. She says she usually keeps her political views private, as most people of her era do.
Mm-hmm.
My 89-year-old Republican mom has ordered me to stop talking about anything she thinks about anything. Steffi, I've had my time in the limelight. I don't want to. Don't talk about that. I'm just saying, Betty White, 90 years old, she said she very, very much favors President Obama. She said she's very bipartisan, has stayed away from politics all of her life. She usually never says who she's for or against because she doesn't want to lose fans. She says in this year's election, she likes what Obama has done and how he represents us. Rock on, Betty.
It ain't a man's world.
Oh, and also, JWoww of Jersey Shore has slammed Bristol Palin, so we're, you know. All ends
so
of the spectrum.
So reality show stars are now slamming other reality show stars.
She said Bristol should keep her uneducated, ignorant mouth shut. If you're living in the past, you wouldn't have a kid without marriage, you hypocrite. It's 2012. Oh, my.
Really?
Let's see. Samantha Ronson, celebrity DJ, said, we know in general kids do better growing up in a mother-father home. Really, Bristol Palin? How's your kid doing? Oh.
Snap.
Oh, two snaps up in a circle.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Revenge of the reality star.
Yeah, someone said, who cares what a failed vice presidential candidate's daughter thinks.
Ah.
So I'm just going to stop talking now. Maybe I'll come back tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.